It's the Dr. Decker Weiss Show, the heart of integrative medicine. Now, here's your host.
Sleep is very complex. As an integrative doctor, I try my best to not just get people to get healthy amounts of sleep, but healthy quality of sleep. Sleep, I tell my patients, is like booze. There is fine wine and there is Schlitz malt liquor. And if you expect to knock yourself out with things like Tylenol PM, you're going to get the Schlitz malt liquor of sleep and you're going to wake up sometimes even feeling like a hangover. And that's why we bring in experts like today. We have Dr. Michael J. Bruce. Boy, this guy is bringing a lot to the table. He's a PhD, clinical psychologist, diplomat of both the American Board of Sleep Medicine and a fellow of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. In addition to that, he worked with medical doctors and became board certified in sleep disorders. The Sleep Doctor, welcome, Dr. Bruce. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
You have broken sleep into these five stages. Can you go into it for us, why you chose to break it into the five stages and why that is important for maybe patients or clinicians to understand these five stages?
Well, you know, the five stages have been around for a little while, but it's truly understanding what the five stages do for you that I think is really the most important aspect to really getting a good feel for what sleep can do. The first stage is considered to be wake, believe it or not, and that's considered a non-sleep stage, but it's clearly very important because it's what we do for roughly 16 hours a day. Then comes stage one and stage two. This is your very, very light sleep. This is the sleep that is the entryway into sleep. It's where your heart rate begins to slow. It's where your blood pressure slowly begins to drop. It's a scenario that everybody has to go through unless you're actually an infant. Infants enter sleep through REM sleep due to their just tremendous brain development and what's going on there. Then your body goes into stages three and four. This is the very deep, what we call physically restorative sleep. It's very different than any other stage of sleep. This is where growth hormone is emitted, so we're seeing a tremendous amount of healing going on, of physical healing going on during stages three and four sleep. And you get the largest amount of it, believe it or not, in the first third of the night. Then it begins to trail off later on in the night, and then you get more REM sleep. For folks who remember, REM is not the band out of Athens, Georgia. It is actually where your eyes move back and forth while you're sleeping. You have the greatest proclivity to dream during that period of time, but what we now know is that's the most mentally restorative sleep. So that's where you move information from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. That's where you organize your thoughts. That's where, if you don't have enough of that stuff, you're losing your car keys, you're walking into a room and forgetting why you're there, things of that nature. And so when we start to look at sleep, it also comes in a very particular cycle, sort of a dance step, if you will. You go from wake to stage one to stage two, stage three, four, back to stage two, and then on into REM sleep. That constitutes a cycle of sleep, and most individuals have about five of those, and they last about 90 minutes apiece.
So it's rotating. So I'm thinking in my head, you know, it starts at like 10 o'clock and the stage five would be done at like 8. But what you're saying is there's sort of five rotations almost in that period. Is that what I'm hearing right?
Well, that's correct. And so what's really interesting is 8 hours is really a myth. If you look at the average sleep time, just based on the cycles alone and how we know these cycles run anywhere from about 80 to 120 minutes with an average being 90, the average person really only needs about 7.5 hours of sleep.
Okay, so 7.5 hours to complete all those cycles. Now, I'm a cardiologist, and I see a lot of these people with short-term memory issues. And I'll tell you, sleep is just a disaster the way it's being handled. And I can say that. You don't have to, Doc. I won't put you on a spot like that. But literally, it's sort of this sleep at all cost thing. And I keep trying to tell them that it's quality, not always quantity. That's fair then, Doc, when I say that?
It is, and I like to push quality over quantity. You know, most people, when they think about sleep, they just think of the number of minutes, and they don't really think about how do I affect the quality of my sleep. Number one thing that affects quality of sleep that most Americans do is drink caffeine, and we know that. Caffeine has a massive effect on the quality of your sleep. It keeps you in the lighter stages of sleep. The other thing is alcohol. While alcohol may make you feel sleepy, in fact, alcohol keeps you out of that stage three, stage four sleep, And it's part of the reason that you get a hangover. Part of it's dehydration. The other part is lack of deep sleep.
I tell you, when I hit about 45, 46, I noticed that I'm good for about two or three, you know, adult bevvies, you know, in an evening, like on a Saturday, whatever. But if I get to like four or five, I'll sleep. But it's like I didn't even rest. And with age, that yep. clearly changed. You were able to explain that. Now, is there a correlation where I can take this that if somebody has, like, for example, chronic pain, can I associate that at least partially that they're not having quality stage 3 to 4 sleep, or even the opposite or the same, where if somebody's having short-term memory issues, which is really chronic, really common in my office, that they're not getting those stages 4 to 5 sleep? Is that fair?
It is fair. Interestingly enough, when you look at people in pain, and I actually have a sleep center in a pain center, because one of the areas of interest for me for research is looking at how does pain affect sleep. One of the things that we find is that these people actually, when you look at their EEG waveforms, it turns out that they've got alpha waves on top of these of their delta waves. So what does that mean for everybody out there? That means that alpha waves are your awake EEG rhythm, and delta waves are your deep sleep rhythm. And so what we know, in fact, is that you're not getting the quality of deep sleep that that you need when, in fact, you have pain. When you look at people with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, things like that, there's even documented evidence that these people have a greater likelihood of having this alpha-delta sleep. It's pretty amazing.
So if somebody wakes up, they're like, yeah, every time I wake up, I'm more sore, I should really break down their sleep pattern much more in depth then. I mean,
absolutely. They should be looking at their sleep pattern. They should be trying to understand, as a matter of fact, if in fact they can get to a point where their sleep is a primary focus. I've got a tremendous number of cardiac patients who come through the door, and what they tell me is they're like, Doc, every time I get a good night's sleep, I feel tremendously better. There's even now data to show that refractory hypertension, or hypertension that can't be...
Dr. Bruce, are you there?
Okay. That's a big factor.
Okay. We lost you for a second there, Dr. Bruce. Can you repeat what you were just saying about your cardiac patients? And maybe just see what's going on with the line, if you could.
So one of the things we know about my cardiac patients is, in fact, they tell me that when they sleep better, they feel better. And when you've got folks out there with refractory hypertension, or hypertension that can't be controlled well with medication, a lot of times what we're seeing is these patients actually have sleep apnea, and that's a situation where you stop breathing in your sleep, which slows your heart rate down and speeds it up and causes an increased load on your heart. Or it's just the sleep deprivation itself, which is causing poor cardiac function. So it's pretty amazing how we see that sleep affects your physical well-being. I mean, as a matter of fact, sleep affects every disease state and every organ system.
Well, we should have a talk, because I've always talked about lack of sleep being an inflammatory process with, you know, glutamate as a stimulatory neurotransmitter can be up, as well as histamine during allergy season. A lot of my patients will have a hard time sleeping, and I try and explain to them that histamine is inflammatory, but it's also an excitatory neurotransmitter. I talk about chronic pain with that stuff as well. Five cycles, five stages. Is that what I got right about these five stages? And we were able to correlate with Dr. Bruce's work that if you have chronic pain, there's problems with part of your sleep cycle. If you're having short-term memory loss, problems with sleep cycle. And basically what it says is all the things we've been saying at Radio MD about the quality of sleep. Dr. Bruce, you've gone out and you've perfected that. We sure appreciate you being on. We are with the sleep doctor in the five stages of sleep. His name is Michael J. Bruce. He's a PhD, clinical psychologist, diplomat of the American Board of Sleep Medicine. And he's helped us with the five stages of sleep. www.thesleepdoctor.com. www.thesleepdoctor.com. Dr. Bruce, thanks for being on today and teaching us about the five stages of sleep.